Is Daf brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh in Masechet Ketuvot is Daf Nun Hey. But we're still holding, actually, I mean, we did the mission yesterday, but I think it would probably be a nice idea for us just to review once again, and we can read from the very beginning and say over the mission and then get exactly to the 14 issues that we wanted to talk about today. So once again, let's start from the beginning of Perek Afal Pi, which we really already did yesterday, but Afal Pi, so even though the previous, as I mentioned to you, Rav Ben-Shah's beautiful chat, continuation of the last Mishnah, so even though in the previous Mishnah, closing the Perek, we said that you cannot get away with changing the Ketuvah, and you would have thought, therefore, that that includes a minimum, a maximum as well, in order not to be Mavayish people, as the Gemara says. But, says the Mishnah, Afal Pi, even though in light of that, they're saying betula gova matayim ve'amon amona might mean in your mind you're not allowed to change that. You are allowed to change that. You can only not go beneath that, but you can certainly go above it. Simrat tzelo, sif afilu mana me'amona yosif. That is called the Tosefet of the Ketuvah. Nitar malon nitgarsha, ben mina erisin, ben mina nesuin, gova takol. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says you can only be gova after the chuppah. Mina nesu'in, you could be gova everything. But mina erisin, all you have is the ikar haktuva, and the betula gova matayim, and the amona mona. Why? Shelo katavla ela almanat lekonsa. Now the question is, I mean, how does he know? Doesn't say anything about that, does it? I mean, it's just a contract. And if the contract is binding on the mea or on the matayim, how does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah separate between that and distinguish the Tosefet from the Iker? Now, that's going to be an important question later on today. And we're going to see that it's based on the idea of Umdana. Umdana means an estimation of the reality, even though it isn't backed up by any of the small print. That's a very important concept, and it seems to be here a machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah about whether we will rely on an umdana to redefine what something means in a contract. We'll see more about this in the Gemara. So, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, there is a way to actually go below the amount that's written in the ketuvah. It's true that you cannot write a ketuvah for less than the amount, but you can effectively reduce the burden of the ketuvah on you. And how would you do that? That way, your written shtar is consistent with the dinim of a ketuvah as it is held virtually in Beis Din. And then she can write you, I already received 100. So that's effectively reducing your ketuvah. Same thing could be you could write an almana, a kosher ketuvah of almana, and she writes to you, I got 50 zuz. Rabbi Meir says, no. You cannot effectively reduce your ketuvah either, because it's not just a function of what it says. It's a function of how it works. And remember that the concept of needing to have the ketuvah that was kavua, either as we say, the Diraisa, Remez Midiraisa, the Chazilchi Midiraisa, whatever it is, but that machlokas we've spoken about before, but the point is that it is what makes the marriage a marriage, because otherwise, that just the fact that somebody waved holy water at you and said, holy, 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 and now you are in the holy matrimony or whatever, holy, it's not holy at all unless the Torah actually supports it. And so that is only where the Chachomim were aimed on what all of this issue means of being careful about the nature of a relationship and the way it is that a woman has to be treated. Therefore, if you're going to give her, even if it looks like a kosher ksuva, it's not about looks. It's about not being less protective than you need to be. And therefore, if it's less than matayim for a vitula, and it's less than a mana for an almana, for all intents and purposes, it's be'ilat znus, and you can cut out the words of the minister. Now, the question the Gemara asks today, and here we're starting from where we left off yesterday. So, pshita, isn't this rather obvious? I mean, why would you not be allowed to give her more? Well, because ma'adatema, Kitsuta of the Rabbanan Shlo Levayeshet Misha'in Lo. Look, I mean, we've determined, the way that we said the last Mishnah, maybe the Rebbe Meir's time. So we've determined that Chazal were Koveya, the nature of Eksuva. Is it not perfectly reasonable to entertain that a ksuva is a basic description of a relationship, which, if we allow you to start putting in your specific modality of relationship, and I really love her more than anybody else loves their wife, and I'm going to give her $1 million ksuva, that actually undermines the overall sense of the value of the relationship per se, and those who can't afford anything more than the 100 or the 200 are going to be always living in a sense of being less important and less classy, and actually suffer from the fact that they can't live up to what other people in the society is doing. Just look at the nonsense that happened because of allowing the Tosefet. You've got these insane ksuvas, which everybody knows don't mean anything, in which people are putting in $100 million, and I mean, the nutty things in the event of a divorce. And that actually does undermine the nature of a ksuva, more than just embarrassing others. But you could see that it leads to a competitiveness which undermines things. So you would have thought that that is a very good reason to keep a ktuva pristine. This is the ktuva. You want to do something else, you can certainly write a special, beautiful, framed on the wall, gold glint, whatever you want, with whatever gifts you want to give, and show off whatever you got, but that has nothing to do with the ksuva. That's what you would have thought. Comes along, therefore, the Mishnah to say that the ksuva itself can be a vehicle for the chashivas that you are giving to your wife, but that's a chiddush. Now, imra tzala hosif, if you want to add, wait a minute. Note carefully the language. If you want to add, what do you mean if you want to add? Am I adding? I mean, I'm just sort of giving her a gift, right, to show how valuable she is. It's not like I'm adding to the ksuva, am I? The ksuva remains, the mona matayim. I mean, look, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah points out that there's even a different point in which it kicks in. So it isn't really the same thing. Like, I've turned the ksuva from a ksuva of matayim into a ksuva of a million. I mean, we do have something like that, by the way. And that was, remember, that we spoke about that the Kohanim, Beit Din Shel Kohanim, they were machmir because of our tremendous yichus. The ksuva is 400 instead of 200. Now, that's not a tosefet. That was a different halacha, which was a tremendous chiddush, that it was mutter to do that, and to actually write the ksuva, and that means that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would not have argued about that particular din. He wouldn't have said, well, you can only be gova for the bat kohen, you can only be gova the 200 until the chuppah, there ain't no such thing. If you're able to be gova, you're able to be gova, lechora, right? So here, by calling it a tosefet to the ktuva, isn't that very misleading? Isn't this basically just a gift that you're sort of hanging on to the ksuva because it's a good opportunity? This way I don't need to put two beautiful things on my wall. You know, I only need wall space for one. I mean, but it isn't really the ksuva. Says the Gemara, no, that's gufa. The point, it says, rotza lohosif. It doesn't say rotza lichtovla, if he wants to write her a gift that is like a ksuva, but it wouldn't. No, it's actually in addition to the ksuva. That is a tremendously important lahalacha distinction that leads us to 14 different halachas that are kavua in the din of the ksuva, which otherwise would never have applied to a normal contract that he would have written her on his own as a separate thing. And it's all because of the fact that the Mishnah uses the word lohosif. So that means the tosefet is given the actual din of the ktuva. The Omer Rabbi Bo Omer Rabbi Yanai, Tna'e Ketuva Kechtuva Domo. Now, this seems to mean that all of the clauses, remember we explained yesterday that each clause of a ktuva is called a tnai, even though that's a rather strange way to refer to it. But when you realize that a clause in a ktuva is always in the event that, so therefore it's a tnai, so in the event that I die, in the event that I divorce you, in the event that you have male children. So we're calling them all tnaim. So these are the clauses of the ktuva. So the pashtus of the Gemara is saying that every element of the ktuva is like the ktuva. And that's what Rashi says, all of the various tnaim. But there are those who argue, and it's a very big machlokas halacha lemaisa, because the Rosh disagrees with Rashi, and says that the meaning of tnaei ktuva kiktuva in context of this Gemara is specifically the idea of the tosefet. And that's what we're referring to. We're not necessarily saying that every last element of the ksuva is going to have all of these 14 things attached to it. So let's go through those 14 things. So the nafkamina will be, so here's all of the differences in the issues. Whoops, I only said l'chaim, but I never drank anything. That's the let your fingers do the walking, let your gavi do the drinking. That was a mistake. I would have ended up without having a bit. Excellent. Okay. So let's take a look at what those various things are, and we'll go through them one by one. And then when the Gemara, of course, we'll go into the specifics of each thing. Okay. So let's take a look. What is the nafkamina? So nafkamina number one is a mocheret, or two, a mochelet, where even the tosefet would be included in what it was that she sold. So in other words, if she makes a deal with someone to take 30 cents to the dollar, she is actually going to take 30 cents to the dollar on the tosefet. And in the event that she collects the ksuva, meaning that her husband divorces her or dies, the purchaser is going to be the one that gets the tosefet as well. A mochelet ktuva to her husband would include the tosefet. If she says, I mochelet. There's also another interesting issue, number three, which is moredet. Now, halacha is that a woman who punishes her husband by refusing to have any intimate relations with him is considered to be a moredet, and the din is that she gets a gradual decrease in her ksuva. We'll see later. So the halacha is that, according to this, even the tosefet would be included in the loss. So we will take off from her tosefet as well from moredet. The fourth thing is a pogemet. A pogemet means that if she admits that some of her ktuva was already paid, now, that's a big problem, because once that's true, we don't really know how much and what's going on, but apparently there was some payoff before. In that case, if the husband would say, in the case of a divorce, the husband would say that, no, I actually paid you the whole ktuvah, so then she needs to make a shvuah. So, pogemet ktuvata is ena nifraat ela b'shvuah. Gavi, some of these terms are essentially new terms and should be written down. Moredet and pogemet. So those are new. Anyway, this is the way Rashi explains that. Rashi took that approach. The Tosfos says that what it means is that when she collects, she cannot collect even the tosefet unless she makes a shvuah. That's the point, which is a different approach. Okay, next, number five. So element number five, mocheret, mochelet, moredet, pogemet, tova'at. Now, tova'at means that if the woman, as we saw before, once she goes to court and she demands payment for a ktuvah, according to the Chachamim, we said at that moment already, ein la mizonot. So what if she went to court and all she asked for was her tosefet? This is how Rashi explains it. If even though all she asked for was the tosefet, and she says, no, I still want to be covered by all the clauses of the ktuvah, but there's also a gift in there, and that gift shouldn't be the same as my ktuvah, the din is that it is, and therefore she will lose her rights to mizonot. Fine. So the Tosfos actually takes the opposite. He says on that that if you learn that, as we're going to see later on, that a tovat, only part of her ktuvah, this is machlokas later, so according to Chachomim, if she's tovat, only part of her ktuvah, she does have mizonot. So the chiddush is that if she was tovat the entire ikar ktuvah, but she was not tovat the tosefet, she still has mizonot. Why? Because it's called a tosefet, which means that she was only tovat niktsat ketuvata. Next case, number six, she was an overet al dat. That we'll discuss the details later, but she is what a person has to divorce his wife because of a dvar erva. She goes out without a ktuva. The next thing is, so we have mocheret, mochelet, moredet, pogemet, tova'at, and number six, overet aldat. Number seven, leshevach. So the din is that a balchov would be able to collect a debt even from shevach that nechassim went up in value, and even if the yatomim were the ones who invested in the nechassim after they got them, remember we talked before that you can collect as someone who is owed, you can use your lien to collect a field even though the buyer of that field put in a lot of money. And you can walk off with all of that money, his watering systems and so on, and the buyer would have to go back to the seller. Now, in this case, if the Yatomim invested, they don't have a seller to go back to. Nonetheless, normally a Baal Chov would be able to collect Shevach Nechassim, whether your own Shevach or whether Shevach just because it went up in value. Masha Ein Kein, but it comes to a Ketuvah, one of the takonas of the Ketuvah is that a woman collects only from the value at the time of the death and not from Shevach after the death of her husband. Number 8, Lishvu'ah. So anything that would require making a Shvu'ah on the Ketuvah is also true about making a Shvu'ah on the Tosefet. Okay, this is a little bit problematic because we included partially in before this, then when we talked about the Tosefet being the same in the case of Pogemet, but there are other cases that are covered. Tosefet learns that it means that if she did make a Shvuah on the collection of the Ksuva, even though she never mentioned the Tosefet, she does not have to make a separate Shvuah on the Tosefet. Okay, next thing, number 9, is Lishvias. Shemitah is not mishamet a ketuvah, which reminds me to remind you that if you've got any loans, make sure that you write out, as Hillel has been metaken, your prusbel. Number 10, the time's coming up. Number 10, kotev kol nechasav levanav. What does that refer to? In the event that a person gives out his property in his lifetime, and he calls his family together, including his wife, and he gives each one, I want to give you this piece of property, I want to give you that piece of property. He says the same thing to his wife, I'd like to give you this piece of property. So the halacha over there is that if she accepts that gift, it's considered to be that she's taken that in lieu of her ketuvah. And that would include in lieu of her tosefet. So this is the kotev ko nechasav. The next issue is gova min hakarka, that the din is that ktuva is collected from karka, mina ziburit, and it's specifically a takana of ziburit, which is different than the normal Baal Chov case. So the original takana is anything written in a ksuva can only go to the lowest level. Obviously, it doesn't change the value, but it changes how easy it's going to be to translate that property into cash because you can only take the most difficult to sell piece. That's called ziburis. Okay, so we have mocheret, mochelet, moredet, pogemet, tova'at, the overet aldat, the shevach, the shvua, the shvias, the case of the kosev karka leishto, which is kosev kodachasav lebanav. We have ligvot min hakarka umin haziburit, and the additional interesting halacha, which is that kol zman shehi bebeit aviha, which means that there is a halacha that if she has stayed at home and she has not been insisting on anything during that time, and has not been receiving anything during that time. Her husband died, leaving a house full of kids from another woman. She goes, moves back to her father's house, doesn't ask them for any support, doesn't ask them for a ksuva. We'll see later on that the halacha is that once 25 years have passed without any sign on her part that she intends to collect, that ktuva becomes canceled and it's considered to be that she was mochelet. So the ktuva of the Tosefet HaKtuva is included in the standard 25 years cancellation. And finally, the ktuvat benin dichrin, which is that she takes the nedunya of her father. So that means that if she died first and then the husband dies years later, leaving a bunch of different kids from different wives, that remember we sequester the amount that was hers. That amount includes the Tosefet of the Ketuvah, and the Tosefet of the Ketuvah goes directly to her children as opposed to be thrown into the big pot. So those are the 14 different issues that all come from this one word in the Mishnah, and that is Lohosif, instead of Imratza Lichtov. Brilliant. Okay, so now let us continue with some of the issues that are involved. So in Pumpadisa, the idea of the Ktuvas B'din Dichrin, it was a machlokas between the various yeshivas in Bavel about certain issues. So let's talk about some of them. First of all, we had two big yeshivas, Pumpadisa, Mata Machasya, and we have a series of machlokasin between them. And one of the machlokasin has to do with the ktuva of B'din Dichrin. So in Ktuvat B'din Dichrin, in Pumpadisa, they considered that to be something that cannot be collected from property that had been sold out before the death of the father. So remember, the concept of the Mishu'ubadim, generally speaking, the she'ibud that he gives her to collect her ktuva from any of his property, that is considered to be the pre-existing lien that she's going to be able to actualize against any buyer. But what about if she died first? All of those things that are then going to be given directly to her descendants when her husband dies, can those things also have the same ability to go and to collect from fields that had been sold before? Because basically they're taking the place of their mother. Or are they considered to be heirs of their father? And if they're heirs of the father, and it's simply the fact that the father has sequestered this property, they're not going to be given more power than a normal heir. And since a Yerusha cannot be, obviously a Yerusha can't be taken from things that the father sold. The father sells a field for $1 million, dies the next day, and now the heirs come along and tell the buyer, sorry, now it's our field. Are you crazy? You can't do that. The Yerusha is only whatever the father left them, right? So now the question is, how do we view B'din Dichrin? Are they essentially a gift from the mother and therefore the original lien still obtains or not? So in Pumpadisa, they said, absolutely not. Lotar fami mishabda. You can't go collect as your heir of your father, the property of your mother, and now claim that it was yours from then and you can take it away from people who bought it. Nonsense. Look at the Mishnah. The language. What is the language of B'nin Dichrin in the virtual shtar that is being held in Beis Din? Is it says, B'nin Dichrin de Yahavah lechuminoi, Inun yertun kesef ktuvatech yatral chukei and imacheyon. Right? They will be yartun. They will be yoresh, your money, above and beyond what is going to be split with their other siblings, half siblings, right? Well, that's why it says yartun. Remember, we're still looking at every word in the ktuva to see what the implications are la halacha. So since the Mishnah utilized that word yartun, that's exactly what it means. Whereas in Mata Machasya, they said, actually, they are Torah Mevishavdut. And your girsa in the Mishnah is wrong. And the way we understand the virtual star Captain Bezdin is not B'nin Dichrin Inun Yirtun, but rather B'nin Dichrin De'avilechumino Inun Yazbun Ksav Ktuvatech. They will take. And when you say Yazbun, that is the lotion that you would use for a Balchov, which means that they are Mishabit, and that it is not looked at as a Yerusha, but rather we're giving you the Kayach of Tirfa. A completely different understanding. The Halacha L'maisa is like Pumpadisa. Lo Tarfa Mi Mishabde, and the correct understanding of the virtual Ketuvah, if you want to write out a whole 50-page document to a wife under the chuppah, and you have somebody you're really trying to wreck, and you give him the Ksiva, the Kriyas HaKsuva, then, you know, 3 hours later, when nobody's left around, and he's sitting there mumbling to the empty room. Anyway, the correct girsa in that Ketuvah should be, in fact, Yirtun, and not Yizbun. Okay, so that's the halacha. It does say Yirtun. Now, we had another big machlokas between those two yeshivas in terms of somebody who had set aside metaltalin for his wife. So, okay, so this guy's got a Rolls Royce, and he says to his wife, look, you know, if I die or divorce you, the car is yours. She always wanted the car, and it was like, whew, bright red. Don't ask. So she's been waiting for him to die to get the Rolls Royce. So now if the car is still around, so then she collects the car without a shvua. She does not need any kind of shvua for collection. Normally, we are concerned for what's called tsurori, gavi, tsurori, tzadik resh resh yud. Then that tsurori is ema tsurori atvasua. We are concerned that a husband, in order to make life safer and easier for his wife, especially if he has other children and so on. So what he did was he gave her a safe deposit box. I mean, tsurori literally means, you know, a wallet of money and so on. But the point is, we don't know. I mean, it's very possible that a husband was protective of his wife, and he told her a combination to a safe deposit box that we know nothing about. And now she's coming. She's not going to say anything about it. And she's going to go collect that money from her safe deposit box, and she'll come into court, and she said, well, here's my ksuva. Nobody paid me. So therefore, we were mitaken that she always needs to make a shvua that her husband was not matfis her tsrori, and she really hasn't collected her ksuva from anywhere that we don't know about. In the event that he had set aside the car, then she doesn't have to make a shvua because, I mean, this is something that is known, and we don't suspect that besides the car, he gave her some other safe deposit box. Why would he do that? So we've already handled the tsurori atvasua. Now, that's in the case that it's still around. But what about if the car is no longer around because she took it for a little drive around the block? That was the end of the car. Les nehu beinayu. So if the car no longer exists, so now what is the din? The pumpadisai say, he is not going to give her a safe deposit box after she wrecked the car. It's not really because she wrecked the car. But in other words, having once done something like that, he feels, okay, you know what? I've already done it for him. I'm not going to go running around now and replace the car with a safe deposit box. So we can still assume that it's collectible without a shvua because we know what happened to the money that was meant to be collected. Whereas in Mata Machasya, they say, why? I mean, it's very possible that if the car, something happened to the car, that then he went and he gave her some other way of collecting. It's not like a one-time thing. It's, don't be so cynical, you know. Maybe he really was concerned. So he went in and he gave her a safe deposit box afterwards. Here too, the halacha is like Pumpadisa. Below shvua, you can collect. Okay, another machlokas between Pumpadisa and Masa Mechasya would be if Yiched La Ara Bi Arba'a Matzrinaha. Now, this person set aside a particular field for the collection, of her ksuva, and he defined the field precisely. All four boundaries were marked and were professionally designated, you know, from this street to this rock to the fronting road and whatever. Then she can collect, everybody agrees, without a shvua. Because over there, we understand, he didn't give her other money. If he already defined a field for her, that was the whole point. He defined the field to make life easy for her. She's going to go directly, be able to collect that field, instead of going after any of all of his property and then have long court cases where somebody else claims that he had a lien on that property, so on. Like this, it's all clear. And that's why he did it. But how about if he just said, the field that fronts on Highway 9, right? So now, okay, but I mean, like, what about the rest of the field? I mean, you know, I can go ask for your field on Highway 9 and suddenly come and somebody's going to say, yeah, but that part of the field was bought afterwards and that wasn't part of the thing for your ksuva and he sold that out. I mean, and then if he didn't define it, so then if it was only Bechad Matzra, so now there is a machlokas. The Pumpadisai say, look, the fact is that she can still collect her ksuva without making any kind of shvua, because once we know that he actually gave her the field, so he's not going to, even though it wasn't so perfect, he's not going to be so worried that, you know, he needs also to give her a safe deposit box. Okay, so she'll have a little bit of a hard time. At least she knows where to go, where to start, you know. Whereas in Mata Machasya, they say, the guy knows that he didn't really make life that easy on her by not giving her all of the details. And because of that, we do have to worry that he gave her a safe deposit box. And therefore, she needs to make a shvua that there were no other hidden monies that you guys don't know about. The halacha in this case is also like Pumpadisa, and that she can collect without a shvua because we're not chayshish. Basically, it's a little bit more cynical. It's the fact that, look, if I've already done something for her, that's good enough, you know. So it may not be perfect and give her all our ba'amats or not, but that's perfectly okay for her. And we don't think that, you know, he cares that much, he's going to make sure. So all of these things are like Pumpadisa. Now, there was another machlokas, bichlal, that has nothing to do with ksuva, but does have to do with the inyanim of writing up a shtar. And interestingly enough, also have to do, as we'll see, end up with other implications of our Mishnah. So somebody says to these Edim, Kitvu v'chitmu v'havile. So he wants to give away a field that he owns, and he calls witnesses together, and he says, okay, here's this field, and he explains what it is he wants to give. I'd like you to write it up and sign it as witnesses and hand it over to him, that it should be a kinyan for him. So now the question is, if they were konumine, if they actually did a kinyan suda, which is really only symbolic, but it is enough to be anything that is koning with the suda is omeh to be written up in a shtar. So then, lo tzarichim luchebe. They don't have to ask him when it comes time to actually write the shtar that you sure you want us to write the shtar and not just make the kinyan for him on the field. Because writing a shtar, there are many reasons why a person may not want a shtar written up. For instance, as the Gemara elsewhere says, he may not want to write up a shtar because people don't know what's in the shtar. And so what if the guy's involved in other real estate transactions? He's giving this away as a gift. So say, well, what harm can come? The fact that people know that you gave a gift. Say the harm is that they don't know it's a gift. All they know is that there's a bunch of activity in court in which property is being transferred. It looks like I'm in desperate straits and I'm selling off everything I have, in which case my value is going to go down. My credit rating is going to go down. If I try selling another field, people are going to try bargaining me down because they think I'm desperate. No, I don't want it written up. So, okay, among other reasons. So Lemaisa, just because he clearly wants to transfer it, doesn't necessarily mean that he wants it written up in court. Masha Einkein, if he actually made a Kenyan Sutter, then they don't need to go back to him to find out that he really wants to make the shtar. Now, it's a machlokus over here in whether that means that a Kenyan Sutter is mechayev writing a shtar, or this is just a fact that I don't need to make sure that when he said chitmu, kitvu v'chitmu, that they meant writing up a shtar and giving it to him in public. But if lo kanu miyade, so the Pumpi Disoy say, it doesn't matter. Even if you didn't write it up, still, if that's what he said, then we can assume that that's what he wants. Whereas B'nai Matam Achasi says, no, you have to make sure, tzarechim luchibe, you have to make sure. Now, there's a question of what it is you want to make sure. So again, it's a machlokas about whether you want to make sure that you really want us to do the matana, which is basically the way that it seems that Rashi was learning, or the question is whether we want to make it public in a shtar. But whatever the question is over there, the Pumpadisoi say, no, he already said it, and you don't need to go ahead and to ask. Whereas B'nai Matam Achasi Amrei, Tzorechim Luchibe, look, he might actually have changed his mind about the whole thing, because until it's actually done, then he still has the right to change his mind, even though it may not be nice or whatever. Okay, so these are the Machlokasin. In everything else up until now, we went according to Pumbedisa, and in this case, we go in Matam Achasya, and the halach is Tzorech Liim Luchibe. Now, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah said that the only time that the woman can collect her Tosefet is if her husband actually made it to the Chuppah, or they actually make it to the Chuppah, because he was only Lo Katavla Ela, he only meant that it should be collected Almanat that they get to the Chuppah. As we pointed out in the Mishnah, how do you know? It doesn't say that. So don't you have to write? I mean, it's sort of like Dvarim Shebelev, right? So anything, you can say what you want. Well, I was thinking. Who cares what you were thinking, buddy? What'd you write in the contract? So the lawyers are going to be looking at the small print. They're not going to be looking at what you're thinking. How are we supposed to know what you're thinking? That would be what you'd think. And yet, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that we claim that we know what he's thinking. To such an extent that what he's thinking defines what is in the shtar. Whoa. Now, what is that called? That's called umdana. Umdana is estimation. That is worthwhile writing also, Gav. Umdana is the estimation. The word literally means omed, means to estimate what it is that his psychology is. Okay, so we know that this seems to be a machlokas bichlal. So let's take a look. There's a machlokas Rav and Rav Yonasan about whether we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. which I'm assuming means that there's a machlokas whether we rely on an umdina. So now we don't know who said what, but we do know that one, either Rav or Rabbi Nosson, said that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and one says that the halacha is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Says the Gemara, maybe you don't know who has said what, but we know who said what, because I can show you that Rabbi Nosson must be the one who says that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because I have another place to prove to you that actually Rabbi Nosson holds that you go baser umdana. The shamina leila Rabbi Nosson, the azar baser umdana. And since Rabbi Nosson holds that you go baser umdana, he would be the one indeed that would paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because that would be consistent with him, right? And where do I know that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah goes baser umdana? The Omar Rabbi Nosson, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri ben Mesukan. Now this question is the issue of a umdana where somebody is about to embark on something dangerous. So he's about to go on an ocean journey, which was quite dangerous in those times. We don't know if he's ever going to come back. He doesn't know if he's ever going to come back. He's about to go on a journey, on a caravan journey through the desert, where he may be attacked by marauding Arabs and so on and so forth. He's very nervous. And so in order to prevent his wife falling for Yibum, so what he does is he has a get written up. Because what if he never returns? So this guy is very tense, and he says to Adam, I want you to write a get for my wife. Now, normally when somebody says to Adam, I want you to write a get for my wife, they cannot deliver that get because he never said anything about delivery. He's thinking about a get. He wants a kosher get, but certainly that's not the same thing as being told to deliver a get. However, we know from Maseches Gittin that in a case where someone is about to jump out of a plane and he says, Kitvu get the ishti, then that means Kitvu v'tnu. So in that case, they actually can deliver the get. Actually, jumping out of a plane is not a good example because he probably would have hit the ground before they would have a chance to give the get and the ein get le'achar misa, but you get the idea. Now, Rabbi Shimon Shizuri said over there that the halacha is that this would apply to anything that would have a person tense and nervous. So if a guy is about to go into some serious heart surgery, he may want to do this also, as Shmuel can tell you. Or as if there's any kind of sakana, Rabbi Shimon Shizuri says, if a guy says, write the get, he means give the get. Fine. Now, that is an umdana, big time. A guy doesn't say, divorce my wife, and we can go divorce his wife. Oh, my God. So this means that since Rav Nosson paskins like Rav Shimon Shizuri, he obviously holds that we go baser umdana. So the same thing is true over here. Since this guy gave such a tosefet, and people normally would only give such a tosefet with a das that they're going to be married to this woman, and they want to build up that marriage. So that would be why we say that you don't get to collect it until you actually came to the chuppah. Makes a lot of sense, right? The Rav Shimon Shizuri at Paskin was by Trumas Meiser Shel Tamai. Now, here's the problem of the Trumas Meiser Shel Tamai. There's one problem of if somebody didn't Meiser something before Shabbos, so the din is that you can ask the Am Haaretz whether, because in order for Rashi learns because of Einik Shabbos, you won't have anything to eat. So you can go back to the Am Haaretz and you can say, tell me the truth. Did you take off Meiser? The guy says, yes, you can rely on him in terms of Shabbos. Tosis points out that it's clear from the Yerushalmi that it has nothing to do with Onik Shabbos. It has to do with the fact that an Am Haaretz doesn't lie on Shabbos because Emat Shabbat Alav. He has a sense of extra Kedusha because it's Shabbos. I can't lie on Shabbos, you know, never on a Sunday. So there's another question. What about Bechol? So over there, what happened is, this is the case where Shimon Shizuri says, B'trumas Meiser Shel Tamai afilu Bechol. What's that referring to? Somebody took off Tamai. He took off his Meiser from an Am Haaretz that he had bought from, and then he took off Trumas Meiser, and oh my gosh, he's carrying away the Trumas Meiser. He slips. The Trumas Meiser falls back into the chulin that he just had fixed. Now the whole thing becomes Truma. Because it's meduma, and there's no way for him to get his use out of it unless he sells it to Kohanim for 50% off or whatever they're going to take off. And because of that, it's a hefset. So there, also, Rabbi Nosson Paskin, like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, that there, even Bechol, if the Amoritz said that he meisered it, they allowed you to be Samech on an Amoritz because, according to Rashi, because of the hefset that's involved. And according to Tosfos, quotes the Yerushalmi, it's because an Amoritz won't lie about Truma. He'll lie about whether he took off the Truma for Teva. But once Truma's out there and it fell into his things, he's not going to eat it. He's not going to let anybody else eat it. So it's Ema Shabbat Alav and Ema Trumat Alav. Okay. Says the Gemara, well, you're telling me that it's Reb Nosson who is the one that holds of going according to the Umdana. So then you're telling me that it's actually Rav who doesn't go according to the Umdana, right? Because one said X, one said minus X, if you've identified Reb Nosson. So then Rav doesn't hold of an Umdana, but that's not true. I'll show you that Rav does go according to an Umdana also. Rav lo azir batar Umdana. V'ha'itmar, what about the fact that we know that there was this machlokas, fascinating machlokas? Remember that there is a concept of a matna shchiv mira. So matna shchiv mira is a contract that begins with an indication that there is a serious concern for this person's death, and he, in fact, is being mitzave machmat mita, is afraid that he's about to die. And so he writes the standard language of a matna shchiv mira, which can be something like the standard language that the Gemara identifies, is kidekotzir v'romi ba'arse, as I lay ill, lying on my bed. So it's indicative that the special dinim that were given to a shchiv mira, and one of those special dinim is that even if he had written the shtar in that fashion, and people had written up the shtar, as he told them, write this out, and what happened was that he recovered at the end. So the din is that the entire shtar is batal because it's understood that he was only giving away his things because he was convinced that he was going to die. And unlike most people, he didn't think he was going to need all of his stuff in the grave with him. You know, so you're going to take it all with you. But he was smart enough to know that that's not the case. So that's, this guy went ahead and he writes out a shtar for like a particular, he has the Adam write out a shtar and sign it. The problem is that he also said, and as Machlokas was showing him, whether he necessarily put this in the shtar as well, to make a Kenyan Sutter. Now, the din is that a Shchiv Meira does not need any type of Kenyan. Because, Gavi, Divrei Shchiv Meira, Kichtuvim Uchimisurim Dami. Something that is said by a Shchiv Meira, it's as if it's already been written up, given over, and it's like done. So there's no point in writing, in adding that there was a Kenyan or making a Kenyan Sutter. Because the whole point of a Kenyan Sutter is that we take seriously the proceedings. A guy who is dying and is talking about doing things before he dies is quite serious. And therefore, we don't need any other issues to make it serious. If that's the case, why did he write that there was, he had them write? Why did he have them write that we made a Kenyan? There's no point in it. So I say, says Rav, that Bebei Rav, in Rav's Beis HaMedrash, they quoted Rav as having said that the din in such a case is that Arkevei Atrei Rikshe. Remember the Rechashim B'nei Aramachim and all that, right? So the loyal steeds of the Rechashim, he gave this guy two horses to ride, or like the expression goes, he gave him a belt and suspenders. So in other words, what he wants to do over here is to give him both the advantages of a shtar of a bori and the advantage of a shtar of a shchiv mira. That's what he was doing. So by doing that, basically what he's done is said, even in the event that I get better and I don't die, where normally if this would have been just a regular kedekotzer v'romi arse shtar of a shchiv mira, he would have said, okay, so the whole thing is canceled. But here he added the kinyan to say that you should also have the koyach of a bari and present the shtar, and it doesn't matter if I died or I didn't die. On the other hand, well, the Gemara is going to explain what the maila is. Shmuel says, I don't know what to do about this, because it could be that by making the Kenyan Sutter, he's showing that he doesn't want there to be a Matna Shchiv Mira, as we'll see. So let's take a look at the Shitas. The Shita of the Beis HaMedrash of Rav Bebe Rav Mishre de Rav Amre, he's riding on two loyal steeds. Hareu kamat nasbori, vareu kamat nashriv meirav. In what sense? So, areu kamat nasbori, that im amad enu yocholach zorbo, and even though as a shrimera gift, he could have been chozer. But since he added this additional idea of making a kinyan, so now he can't take it back anymore. And on the other hand, it is like a matnas chimera. So what advantage is granted if you're not going to be able to change your mind in the event that you get better? What advantage is given by a matnas chimera? The advantage is this. If you transfer it together with this contract, so you said, I'm giving away this property to so-and-so. If you also write that this halva that is due me, so-and-so owes me money and I've got this contract, and you want to give that to him, then you could not have given it to him by doing a kinyan, because a kinyan chalipin does not help for being kena money, and it would not help for your being able to give over that contract. But a matnas shchiv meira does help. So therefore, by writing that kedikatzer v'rami ha'arseh at the beginning, you are making the part of the contract that relates to the loan valid, even though normally it would not have been. And by sending along the kinyan, you have made it impossible to change your mind in the event of recovery. So therefore, you've given him both a suspenders and a belt. Whereas Shmuel says, lo yadana ma'idun, but I don't know how to look at it. Because maybe this guy, shema lo gamar lahaknoto el bishtar, could be that this guy only wanted to do the kinyan through an actual shtar and ein shtar lachar misa, because he made the kinyan sudr. A kinyan sudr is, for all intents and purposes, a shtar, in the sense that it's allows you, as b'chayev you, it's meant to be written up in a shtar. So maybe this guy thought that he's, you know what, I want to just make sure that we see this through. And he died before he could see it through. And you cannot use a kinyan sudr to transfer something by writing it up in a shtar after the guy already died. So, I don't know what to do. But anyway, what do we see from Rav? We see from Rav, I know what he wanted to do. What do you mean you know what he wanted to do? Shmuel says, I'm looking at the small print and I am confused. So Rav is the one who says, I don't look at the small print. I use my judgment about what he's thinking. And I understand that he wants to give him a pair of suspenders along with his belt, right? So now I don't understand. You've got a machlokas between Rav and Reb Nosson about whether we're paskening that in this case, Reb Elazar ben Azariah is correct by saying, well, I don't think he meant to really give her that extra money unless he came to the chuppah. And now it turns out, if you believe that that is a question of umdana, so then both Rav and Reb Nosson should have paskin like Reb Elazar ben Azariah. But they don't both paskin, and we don't know who paskin, and you were trying to conclude that it must be Reb Nosson, but now it turns out that Rav also agrees to umdana. So something is strange. Not only halacha k'rab shemin shesuri b'misukan, but that the halacha is also like him in the din of trumas meiser shel demai. So the thing that Reb Shimon Shesuri at Paskin was by trumas meiser shel demai. Now here's the problem of the trumas meiser shel demai. There's one problem of if somebody didn't meiser something before Shabbos, so the din is that you can ask the Am Haaretz whether, because in order for Rashi learns because of Einik Shabbos, you won't have anything to eat. So you can go back to the Am Haaretz and you could say, tell me the truth. Did you take off meiser? The guy says, yes, you can rely on him in terms of Shabbos. Tosis points out that it's clear from the Yerushalmi that it has nothing to do with Onik Shabbos. It has to do with the fact that an Am Haaretz doesn't lie on Shabbos. Because Emat Shabbat Alav. He has a sense of extra Kedusha because it's Shabbos. I can't lie on Shabbos, you know? Never on a Sunday. So okay, I loved him. So there's another question. What about Bechol? So over there, what happened is, this is the case where Shimon B'Shazuri says, B'Trumas Meisr Shaltamai Afilu Bechol. What's that referring to? Somebody took off Demai. He took off his Meisr from an Am Haaretz that he had bought from, and then he took off Trumas Meisr, and oh my gosh, he's carrying away the Trumas Meisr. He slips. The Trumas Meisr falls back into the Chulin that he just had fixed. Now the whole thing becomes Truma. Because it's Meduma, and there's no way for him to get his use out of it unless he sells it to Kohanim for 50% off or whatever they're going to take off. And because of that, it's a hefset. So there, also, Rabbi Nosson Paskin, like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, that there, even Bechol, if the Amoret said that he meistered it, they allowed you to be Soymich on an Amoret because, according to Rashi, because of the hefset that's involved. And according to Tosfos, quotes the Yerushalmi, it's because an Amoret won't lie about Truma. He'll lie about whether he took off the Truma for Teva. But once Truma's out there and it fell into his things, he's not going to eat it. He's not going to let anybody else eat it. So it's Ema Shabbat Alav and Ema Trumat Alav. It's sort of stuck now because we have both Rav and Rabbi Nosson agreeing that we go Basar Umdana. So now how are we going to decide who said what? So Tevayu Azir Basar Umdana. So now how do you explain their Piske Halachas? I mean, whoever it was that said that the Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah makes sense because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was saying, let's rely on the Umdana that the guy gave a lot of extra money because he expects to get to the Chuppah. Fine. But whoever it was, now we don't know who it is, but whoever it was that said, ain't Halacha Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, why we say that it should be like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Ah, says the Gemara, because this is, it isn't a question of whether we go Basar Umdana. It's a question of what is the Umdana. And that's the Machlokas. Achinami Umdan Daitahu. We're going according to the Umdana. We just don't agree with his way of understanding the Umdana. Because what we are Omed, in other words, our assessment of his Das is that it's Mishum Ikruve Daitahu. Basically, the reason that this guy has written all of this Tosefet is because he wants her to feel the love tonight. And therefore, he writes this, not waiting for the chuppah, but he wants her to start feeling that, wow, he really loves me, he really cares about me. And that way, she will come to the chuppah feeling differently about him. And it did do that. And in fact, this is what happened. So that would mean that the halacha is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So the question is how we assess, not whether we assess.